Eric, can you walk us through what's it like as a player going through the NFL draft and the combine and the experience of being critiqued on every aspect of your game?
Absolutely. I mean, it's definitely work. I mean, you know, one of the things that you do is you get an opportunity to go to the combine, and, you know, they put you through a vigorous amount of testing and strength conditioning. And, you know, one of the things that they do is they put you through some medical testing, and they have you sitting there for a long time. You could be waiting 4 or 5 hours to get your next test. And I think what they're doing is they're just testing you. There's people out watching. There's scouts watching. There's coaches watching. And they're really trying to see how you handle that duress, how you handle a situation where you're sitting there for 4, 5, 6 hours and you're uncomfortable. It's a tough situation. It's not easy to stand in one spot or sit in one spot for that long. So they want to see people in that challenge, and they're looking and they're grading and they're critiquing. And, you know, the whole entire draft process to me, it's quite interesting. You know, it's a small window for athletes to get ready, you know, from the day they finish their college career to get ready for the draft, even if they weren't invited to the combine. So, you know, a lot of emphasis on gaining strength, gaining speed, and getting bigger, because really what they're looking for in the NFL is that you're bigger and you're stronger and you're faster. And you know, the tape doesn't lie from college. They see all that. They want to see what type of work you're going to do, how serious you take it. And are you in better shape than when you left the college game? That's what they're looking for. That's really what that testing is all about.
Eric, let's go back to the meetings, because, you know, we have a lot of Alabama players that are going through the draft. A.J. McCarron's a guy that is considered not really a first-round guy, but could go in that second or third round. And certainly he was a winner, just like you were in the college game. But I go back to those meetings. What type of questions do they ask as far as, like, your playing ability and making you describe yourself? Walk us through that area.
Right. Well, there's several different types of meetings. I mean, one of the meetings might be with scouts. You might have meetings with a president of a club. You might have a phone call with a coach. You might have a face-to-face with an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, or a special teams coach. And the questions that they ask you can be varied. I mean, you might get a coach that asks you questions about your goals, your family. There might be another coach that really specifically asks you how you understand a certain coverage or how you understand a certain concept on a play. So they might get right into the X and O's, whereas some coaches may not. They may want to learn a little bit more about you. How would you react in this situation? They might bring up an old story. You know, I remember coming out in 2001 during my draft year, you know, they thought I was beating up my girlfriend.
Wow.
They were asking me all these questions about beating up my girlfriend. I'm thinking, I don't know what you're reading or hearing, but that has never, ever happened in my life. So I don't know what you're talking about. So they're like, next question, please. You know, so there could be all kinds of things that come up from your personal life to something maybe you didn't think they knew or some rumor that they heard. So it can get really interesting come this time of year.
Eric, I go back to your playing days. We appreciate the style of play that you played there at Nebraska. You won a Heisman Trophy, smash mouth football. That's something that in Tuscaloosa, you build a lot of fans.
Right.
We look at the skills of the game. It's changing. Do you think it's good for college football that we're not going to the smash mouth attack? We're going away from it?
Well, I'm biased. I mean, I like
sure
it.
You are.
I do like the smash mouth style of play. It's an aggressive play. It's in your face. It's I'm stronger than you. I'm going to wear you down. I'm going to beat you up. And the other style now that's really taken a grip of college football is, you know, I'm going to play smarter. I'm going to use the space. I'm going to make the quick reads and get the ball out of the hand. And I'm going to run the clock and wear you out by keeping guys on the field and moving through several plays. And you know, I believe that, you know what, if that's the way that you want to win, then do it. I also believe that if you want to win playing power football, then you put your program together and you do it. I mean, if you have coaches and you have players that can believe in a certain system, and you've got the talent to do it, then you should be able to run what you want. I mean, that's what you're hired to do as a coach, to come in and run the style of offense or defense that, that you choose. And then you try to be successful from there. And I don't mind the direction that it's going. It's interesting because I'm coaching a fifth grade football team that the high school here in Nebraska is totally in shotgun. And you would think, well, why aren't they in the I formation and running what was happening in the 80s and 90s in Nebraska? Well, that's gone. So now these high schools, if these players want to get looked at by the local Nebraska university here in the state, then they've got to start running this type of offense that Nebraska's running. And that's a lot of shotgun. It's still an I formation, running the football at times. But you really have to be a little bit diverse when it comes to running the offense. And I'll tell you what, I'm getting in the shotgun with the guys in fifth grade, so it just tells you something.
You go back to the running style, and we've talked to offensive linemen, we've talked to quarterbacks and running backs here, that and Alabama does run a pro set, but they do like to take advantage of that smash-mouth attack. When you're looking at a defender, is there any better feeling as an offensive guy when you know they know that you're going to run the football and they can't do anything about it?
I feel so good. It feels really good. And, you know, that's what it comes down to, who's stronger and who's faster, who's trained harder. Obviously, there's part of it that comes down to talent. But when you look across the line and you're able to say as a lineman, like, we're coming right here, watch out. And you come right there and you knock them back for 5 to 8 yard gain. You know, there's nothing that's better than that, because you're telling them exactly where you're going. You're just playing with them at that point. And, you know, it can probably happen in the spread. You could say, hey, we're going right here, you know, and try to do that, because the spread offense is difficult, you know, to cover such, you know, wide spots in the field and tackle from, you know, flying from an inside linebacker trying to get outside and make a one-on-one tackle. Those things are tough. I mean, there's a reason why this is successful. You know, the offenses are able to, you know, get guys in one-on-one positions and make a miss. It's athlete against athlete. And where it's a power game, you know, you really have to break tackles, and, you know, you're running through a lot of traffic there in the middle of the field, and everybody's got to do their job. They've got to make a block. And so there are some differences, but, you know, here nor there, it's whatever you believe in.
I want to talk about the pressure of playing in a program like Nebraska. You know, when you say Lincoln, you say Nebraska, it means college football. Just like if you said Tuscaloosa, the University of Alabama. And looking at the history and the tradition of Nebraska football, did you ever feel that pressure of that responsibility to uphold that tradition and that continued success?
Well, I don't know that I ever felt it when I actually feel it more now that I'm looking back on it. And, you know, you don't realize when you're in the heat of the moment, what is going on the outside. You know, I tried to focus really hard on doing my job and being the best teammate that I could be and helping others around me succeed, which in turn would help this program succeed. And, you know, the way that I look at it is that, you know, the things that you do on a daily basis to become successful in the program are based around the fact that you really, really wanted to be there. And Nebraska is a program that does such a great job of bringing in players that, you know, have been born and raised in Nebraska. And, you know, there's a special feeling about that. And when you get that opportunity to get on the field and do great things, it's meaningful. And there's not a lot of other things going on. You know, you can relate to this too, that, you know, we don't have professional football teams. We don't have professional baseball teams or basketball teams. I mean, the university, you know, is what it is, and people are glued to it. I mean, the front page in the sports just about every single day has something about Nebraska football about it, on it. And, that tells you right there, when you talk about pressure, you know, I never really got into reading the paper, so I was always just laser focused on doing my job. And I think if you look at it from a perspective of, you know, what do you control? And that's getting better as a player, being a team player, and listening to your coaches. And when you go out and do that, there shouldn't be a whole lot of pressure because you know you're giving it everything you got in the weight room. You're giving it everything you got during the winter and summer conditioning and spring football practice. And then when you lay it on the line, come football season, you're throwing it all out there. And there's nothing to be ashamed of. There's no reason to feel pressure. Now, you start feeling a little bit of pressure when you start losing, and there's a snowball effect. I think that's what happens. But, again, you're doing everything that you possibly can to be successful, and there's really no reason to feel that pressure. I believe that the pressure comes when you start looking to the outside factors and stop that inner core focus.
I look at the College Football Hall of Fame. Your name was on the ballot. We'll know in about a week or so if you were selected. You're going to get into the College Football Playoff, whether it's this year, a couple of years down the road. What would it mean for you to be inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame, recognizing your achievements on the field?
Well, first and foremost, I think it's a recognition, being recognized, to the university. Our great program that I had nothing to do with, the tradition that was before me. And so to be able to come and play for a coach like Tom Osborne, Frank Stolich, and Turner Gill, and become part of the tradition at Nebraska, the guys before me laid the foundation. Because if it wasn't for them, my interest probably wouldn't have been as high as it is, as it was to go to Nebraska. And so it would be a great honor, not only for Nebraska, but also the state of Nebraska and my family and myself. You know, I think I'd be completely honored, but the credit would go to the university and the past players. And they're the ones that really laid the foundation. And I'd be extremely ecstatic, but I would also recognize where that came from.
Eric Crouch, right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa, you are also a college football analyst. Does that help you stay connected with the game? Because I know it was a passion to play the game of college football, but I know it's good to stay involved and to be able to have a voice and to be able to analyze college football.
Well, it is. I enjoy myself by doing that. I think it's a great opportunity for me to give back to college football, what college football gave to me. A lot of great memories, a lot of great games, a lot of great competition, and a lot of emotion. And I think being an analyst, you can give back as much as you put into it. And I think that's where I'm going with my career, is to try to teach the game from my perspective, try to do a good job of looking at what I'm seeing and, being upfront with it. And I think that, when you're calling a game, there's a lot that's happening around you. But when you can really focus in on the things that people don't normally see and they're not normally aware of, and you can become an educator and teacher and have fun with it, I think that's the key. The key is to people that are sitting there watching the game, this is what they do in their free time. They are supposed to be having fun. And when they're learning and enjoying and listening to a broadcaster, that's when it becomes fun. That's when it becomes exciting. And I look forward to my career as a broadcaster. This is going to be my third year now doing color commentary.
Let's talk about the Big Ten for a couple of minutes. That's who you're affiliated with, the Big Ten Network, and analyzing college football. Let's spend a little bit of time talking about the Big Ten. Give me the top teams that you think, and you analyze it from your perspective, who's coming out of the Big Ten and be a part of the College Football Playoff?
Well, I think if you look at it right now, Ohio State stick out, and to me on the east side, Michigan State, the way that they finished the year, Connor Cook playing tremendous, those teams should be in that category of potential playoff berth. You also have Wisconsin has an opportunity, and Nebraska has a great opportunity with their defense getting a lot better than they were at the beginning of the year. They were very, very young, and now the experience is started to show towards the end of last season, and more confidence is there. So I believe that the Big Ten has got a very good conference. Now, are they up there with the SEC or maybe the Pac-12? I think they're close. They might not have the top, but they're certainly getting up there with the way that they're playing. You know, you could argue whether or not, you know, Rutgers and Maryland is a great addition to bringing the conference strength up. And we'll have to see how those teams perform here as the first couple of years go on. I think it'll be a building process for them as they enter the tough conference. But, you know, the Big Ten has got a lot of strength to it. You know, I think the Big Ten is one of those conferences where you look at it and you say, well, this conference still has a lot of powerhouse football teams. You know, Wisconsin run the football. You look at Carlos Hyde at Ohio State last year, how he ran the football. You look at Jeremy Langford at Michigan State, now he ran the football toward the end of the year. Guy wasn't even a running back last year. So, you know, the power is there. And then also the finesse. You've got a lot of speed in this conference and a lot of great teams playing good defense. So a lot of bright spots in this conference, a lot of great coaches, and I think a very, very good upside as the future of the Big Ten moves along.
And I may have missed it. You're now with Fox College Football, and I said the Big Ten Network. Am I incorrect?
Well, no, I spent a year. No, you're right. I spent a year with Fox in 2012, and then last year with the Big Ten Network. And I was doing studio work with them and color commentating and some sideline reporting. So I got a taste of a lot of different things last year, which was a very good experience for me.